There's crispy. And then there's crispy-er. Try our new and improved Tyson Crispy Chicken Strips. Crispy just got crispy-er.
Hard Rock Stadium, the place to be on Sunday afternoon, all set and ready to go as we get ready for Super Bowl 54. But today, another beautiful afternoon here in South Beach as we officially declare it Super Bowl weekend. It's Thursday, after all. Fans flooding in Super Bowl 54, now just a few days away. Ahead on this special edition of NFL Live, Titans head coach Mike Vrabel stops by. We'll ask about the Titans season, plus, of course, the future for Ryan Tannehill and Derrick Henry. Texans wideout DeAndre Hopkins joins the show. You can hear his thoughts on Deshaun Watson and the reason he says Houston fans should be optimistic. And Rob Gronkowski weighs in on Tom Brady's future. Gronk explains why the future Hall of Famer has earned the right to call the shots. We don't need any more reason to be jacked up here as we say hello again from beautiful South Beach in Miami. And you know what? Hello. It's a Tiger takeover. I had no choice in this matter.
Wendy, I do not have enough room in this suit to get excited. Okay, but I almost did.
Allow me to introduce you, shall we? I'm Wendy Nix. Happy to have you with us for NFL Live. We'll start with this young man. Pretty young, anyway. Ryan Clark, younger than me, so that's fair. Ryan Clark, an old SEC safety. He started 36 consecutive games to his college career, ending in the Tigers' win in the Sugar Bowl after the 0-1 season. 315 career tackles. Yeah. He ranks seventh in LSU history.
That's not HD.
It's not HD.
Wait till they pull out the black and white of you.
All right, Booger, you up next then. You ready? Booger McFarland, a first-team All-American.
Oh, no. That's this me. Is Mark.
Marcus. All right, Marcus.
Oh,
you
please
want to talk
don't confuse
about
us, Wendy. Don't do that.
Swagoo in the house. Come the first team All-American as well. I got
Super
that right.
Athletic.
Part of LSU's 2003 National Championship team coming up with the game-winning 20-yard pick against
Oklahoma. Come on with it. Come
Oklahoma.
On with it, Wendy. Come on with it. Let's go.
That's all I got.
Booger.
It's Booger's turn. Booger McFarland, a
first-year
team All-American in 1998, a four-year starter and co-captain in his senior season. His 55 tackles for a loss, the most in LSU history. He also caught a touchdown against Florida as a freshman.
Yeah, exactly.
I tell you what, boy,
right,
Booger.
That's
you,
the crew.
Booger, you had skinny man legs, bro. You had little ankles, big calves. I remember watching Booger run in the offseason, my freshman year. Yeah. And, you know, at this time, I'm like 170. I wasn't faster than Booger. I remember calling my mom. You know, he had a calling card back then, so I had to remember all them dang numbers. So I called my mama from Broussard. I said, hey, mom, we got a dude. He got a big old head, a big belly, but his legs look like mine, and he faster than me. I said, but he played D-tackle. I ain't going to never play at LSU. I don't know. Y'all should have let me go to Tulane when I was on the bus and they tried to compete.
Here we go.
All three of you know we're honoring, of course, LSU, our recent national championships.
Where
congratulations.
Where in the hell are your highlights?
What you want to get? We've already seen
three
it.
Three-time homecoming queen.
Okay, right. Well, no, that wasn't three times. But anywho, the point being, there you are on the sidelines, and I know you three are all willing to take credit.
Oh, my word.
Ryan thought he was suited up to play, and someone had to fill him in otherwise. And there you have it. So these three are with us today. Teddy Bruschi will join us with Mike Vrabel. Maybe they will calm this thing down, but I highly doubt it. It's going to come off the rails. So congratulations, fellas.
Yeah, the hell with them.
All right.
It's about
okay.
us.
All right, listen.
It's about us today.
I promised that we would talk about another team other than LSU. So with that, we turn our attention to the Kansas City Chiefs. They were on the practice field yesterday. They had everyone available for the 90-minute workout at the Dolphins practice facility. Defensive tackle Chris Jones played through a calf injury in the AFC Championship, but Andy Reid has said he is now good to go after the two-week break. Sal Palantonio with the Chiefs all week and joins us now. Sal, I know as always you'll get right to it.
Let's get right to the news. The Kansas City Chiefs a little while ago just left the team hotel and went up to Davie, Florida to the Dolphins facility for their second and final full practice of Super Bowl week here for Super Bowl 54. A little earlier, I caught up with Terrell Suggs, linebacker for the Ravens in Super Bowl 47 to beat the 49ers, came here to the Kansas City Chiefs, and now he faces the 49ers again. And I talked to him about facing the 49ers in Super Bowl 54 and how he will help the young players prepare for this game. Listen to this. What do you like about this football team?
The swag, the chemistry. I definitely love how Coach Reed handled it. You know, when he asked me to come here, I was like, Coach, you know what I mean? I just learned the hard way. I don't fit in everybody's, you know, scheme. And he was like, Sizzle, you're going to fit here. So, come on, let's go on this run. And like a little schoolgirl, I said, okay. So, yeah.
What will you tell these guys about playing in the Super Bowl and winning it?
Just to enjoy it. Just to enjoy it. It's pretty much that nothing I can really tell them that they haven't been doing all year. So, the best knowledge that I can give them is that time is your friend right now. You know, Sunday will get here. Enjoy Thursday. You know, prepare as much as you can on Thursday. Enjoy the atmosphere of Thursday and kind of let Sunday handle itself.
Last question. What will it take to beat the Niners? You did it once in a Super Bowl. What will it take to beat this team?
I don't know. It's going to be tough. We're going to find out. We're going to see.
That was a pretty interesting answer. Today at practice, Andy Reid said they will work on red zone offense and defense. So difficult to handle the Niners offense in the red zone because they do so much with 21 personnel, two backs and only one tight end, and their formation variation and shifts off the charts. 69% of their offensive snaps in the red zone. Formation and variation shifts, not only the most of any team this league this year, but the most in the league in the last 10 years, Wendy. And take some advice from T. Sizzle. Time is your friend, right? It's Thursday. Enjoy Thursday. Sunday we'll get here.
Could not agree more, Sal. I plan to do exactly that. We'll see you in a bit. The San Francisco 49ers also at the office today. Of note, kept Tevin Coleman back on the practice field, albeit in a limited capacity. He's trying to play through a dislocated right shoulder he suffered in the NFC title game. Josina Anderson has us covered with the 49ers, and she joins us now. JoJo?
Well, Wendy, the 49ers are in the middle of their practice, which started around 1 p.m. local, and the offense heads into Super Bowl Sunday on the heels of a franchise record-setting performance from running back Raheem Mostert. Now, the update today is that running back Tevin Coleman entered today's session with two limited practices, which is good news, seeing as though he did not practice in any of the three sessions last week due to the dislocated shoulder that he suffered in the NFC Championship game. Now, Mostert told me that he's ready to carry the load, try to equal or even better the 200-plus yards that he had against the Packers, if need be. But head coach Kyle Shanahan says that he's considering all factors when it comes to Coleman's availability or even the use of the Coleman-Mostert tandem when he spoke to the media on Wednesday.
I mean, you always want to look at the health of the guys, and Tevin looked good today. I mean, it's a shoulder injury, so there's no issues with his legs and stuff, and he's running very well, like he always does when he's healthy. So we'll see as the week goes how much the pain tolerances and stuff for his shoulder. Most of our guys are in a pretty good groove every week. That's why I go into games not truly set on, hey, this guy's going to get all of them. When we go in, our guys are so very similar, and they all could be our number one back at any time that it's not as stressful of a decision as you guys would think for us because they've all done such a good job.
Now, keep in mind the challenge for the 49ers rushers on Sunday is that the Chief defense held even Derrick Henry to just negative 1 yards in the second half of their AFC Championship game. Mostert told me, listen, I don't know the specifics. All I know is that Coleman will be ready to go regardless of the situation, with Kyle Shanahan adding of all his limited participants so far that he expects them to be ready to go by, quote, on Sunday. And remember, they also have their availability later tonight at 4 p.m. Wendy, back to you.
Josina, thank you. There is no question that this game will feature two of the game's best tight ends. Travis Kelce and George Kittle rank first and second among tight ends in most categories over the last two seasons. Both went over 1,000 receiving yards this year, marking the first time the Super Bowl has ever featured a pair of tight ends with 1,000 yards. We'll hear now from both tight ends.
I think we both have a really good time playing football. You can see that on the tape. And we both just, you know, enjoy being out there with our teammates. We both make plays when we're asked to. I think we both make plays when we're not asked to, and that's just kind of what we do. Travis Kelce is a guy I've watched since college. He's a guy I watched my rookie year, last year. I have all of his stuff on my iPad every single game. He's one of the guys that I make myself watch just because of how good he is.
George is he's an unbelievable player and a great dude on top of that, man. Every time I catch him in the hallways around here, it's like seeing my brother all over again I haven't seen in years, man. Two very unique and different individuals, right? With that being said, that's probably where we're most similar, is that we're different from everyone else with just our personalities and how we show how much we love the game and love to play for the guys next to us. Outside of that, man, Kittle's a madman. He plays the game with a complete, like a tenacity that you don't see every single day.
All right, gentlemen, let's talk about this. Booger, I'll start with you. It would be surprising if these tight ends don't make a difference in this game. Which of the two has the more favorable matchup?
Well, I think both their matchups are really good. I think it comes down to situational football. If we're talking strictly red zone, I would probably favor Travis Kelce. His route running, his savviness in the red zone is second to none. We often hear about George Kittle being the more complete tight end. So if we want to break this down and choose one, I would probably go with Kittle, and here's why. I'm going to come at it from a defensive perspective. As a defender, whether it's a linebacker, a safety, or whoever you put on him, I have a couple of responsibilities. My first responsibility on most defenses is to play the run. He's the best blocking tight end in football. So when he blocks, I have to come down and defend the run. But guess what? When he goes out in coverage or goes out in the pass, you have to cover him. And his route running ability, although it's second to Kelce, it's not far off. So as a defender, I have two responsibilities. I have to guard against the run, which he's very good at, and then I have to cover him in the pass. So that's tough as a defensive guy, because I want to line up and do one thing. I want to take care of my responsibility. When the Chiefs put Kelce out in a 3-by-1 set, meaning three receivers on the right, Kelce alone on the left, I'm playing pass all the way. I don't have any run responsibilities. So it's going to be tough to defend Kittle, especially if this running game is going well early.
Yeah, I go Kittle because he's more important to Jimmy G than Kelce is to Patrick Mahomes. When you think about the process that they go through and how many layers of offensive players you need to cipher through in order to get to Travis Kelce, that's not to knock Travis Kelce's ability, but you have Cheetah out there. You have Sammy Watkins. You have Mecole Hardman. There are a plethora of options in the passing game that you have. Jimmy G's most comfortable asset is George Kittle. I know we talk about this run game and we get enamored with how Kyle Shanahan sets these guys up to have success offensively, but you best believe if this game is like we've been talking about all week, where it becomes a situation where there needs to be a shootout with Patrick Mahomes, George Kittle will be the first option that Jimmy G is looking for.
See, what happened was Booger was at school first, then I came, and then Marcus came much, much farther after that. So this means I'm right.
It's I don't know how, but okay.
Because I'm in the middle, so I got the best of him and the best of him, and then all of me. So that's why I'm right.
Oh, wow.
When you look at this game, and I do agree with a lot of what they've said about George Kittle, I'm going with Travis Kelce because even though he does have Tyreek Hill, Mecole Hardman, Sammy Watkins on the outside, when the game got tight against the Houston Texans and he needed people to make a play for him, he continuously found Travis Kelce. And the Houston Texans and Romeo Crennel, the defensive coordinator, they knew it. He was covered by Lonnie Johnson initially, and then he was doubled with the safety, and they still found ways to get him the ball. When Booger speaks on savviness, when he speaks on route running, that also has to do with having a feel for zone defenses. Uh-huh. You're going to get cover three from the San Francisco 49ers because they want to rush four and drop seven. Travis Kelce will be huge in finding those holes in the zone and giving Patrick Mahomes an outlet against the rush.
Here's the thing for you. You've been a safety. Which one would you rather cover, Kelce or Kittles?
I didn't have to cover none of them. I had Troy.
No, you have to cover.
Now, he's going to go to the Hall of Fame this week.
He's not here, though. Pick one. Which one would you have to rather cover?
He's going to change his mind.
Come on now.
Kelce. So y'all don't think
that's right.
We stand corrected. One thing is true. Both of these tight ends have big personalities, not unlike a few other people I know. Gentlemen, I use that term very loosely.
Yeah.
All right. So, yeah. Texans head coach Bill O'Brien can now add GM to his title. Team owner Cal McNair said the addition will more accurately reflect the way the team has been operating. Last summer, the Texans traded two first-rounders to the Dolphins for Laremy Tunsil and Kenny Stills. It is rare these days in the NFL that a head coach fully assumes the general manager title. That is apparently the way they're going to do it in Houston. The first thing Bill O'Brien should do as a GM.
Go on a head coaching search.
Oh, boy.
Not going to happen.
He is the head coach, obviously, as well.
Honestly, me just being facetious. When you look at what Bill O'Brien has to do, he has to protect his number one asset, which is Deshaun Watson. Now, he went out, you go get Laremy Tunsil. Uh-huh. You also get him a weapon in Kenny Stills. He's still one of the more sacked quarterbacks in the NFL, and that's with all of the agility and ability that he has to improv. So Laremy Tunsil says he wants to be back next year. If you felt like he played good enough, you bring him back. You also add some depth through the draft. If you're going to be Bill O'Brien and the Houston Texans, you know the one way you win games is by having a quarterback that can make plays. Making sure he stays upright should be his first priority of this offseason.
Finding defensive game changers. Because, look, we here's what we have to face. Bill O'Brien and the Houston Texans, if they have a plan to win a Super Bowl, they're going to have to go through Kansas City because 15 ain't going nowhere. So you have to find game-changing type players on the defense side of the ball. They'll take care of Deshaun Watson, and they'll take care of Hop, and they'll find guys that can make plays quietly throughout an offense with speed and all of that. The other side of the ball, I thought getting rid of Jadeveon Clowney was one of the mistakes that Texas made because you had another edge rusher off the other side to relieve some of the pressure off of J.J. Watt and the rest of these defenders. He has to build, to your point, R.C., some depth defensively, but he also needs to find some defensive playmakers because Patrick Mahomes in Kansas City ain't going nowhere.
You know, how do you take that next step? How many times have we seen in sports where a coach can get you to a certain point? I think about Mark Jackson and the Golden State Warriors. Mm-hmm. They got to a certain point. Then in came Steve Kerr, and they just went off. Sometimes it just feels like he's gotten them to a certain point.
Yeah.
I mean, they've won the division, but they get knocked out every time in the first round of the wild card game. How do you get over the hump? Is it offensively? Is it defensively? Is it a philosophy change?
Yes.
I think at some point Bill O'Brien has to examine himself. He's not going to fire himself as the GM and the head coach. But you got to examine how we do things because there's a reason why you can only get to a certain point, but you can't get over the hump. He's got to look internally. Yeah, and I agree with what they both said, but to me it's more about his philosophical changes that he has to make as a head coach.
Well, I agree with you. The defense is certainly a place they need to address. But Deshaun Watson, I mean, every time he's out there, I worry. I mean, you know, you just put your head down. It's scary.
I think that goes to the philosophy point that Booger is speaking to, though, because we always talked about Bill O'Brien protecting him. Deshaun has to protect himself as well.
That's fair
to a
point.
You need to run offense in a certain way to where he understands that. But when you get defensive playmakers and when you get him protection, now things open up. Now he doesn't feel like he has to play against Patrick Mahomes. He's playing against the Kansas City Chiefs defense. So getting him better help, changing an overall philosophy, allows Deshaun Watson to protect himself as well.
We'll talk about another quarterback for just a minute, and that is Cam Newton with the Carolina Panthers. ESPN's Jeremy Fowler reporting that the Panthers are waiting to evaluate Newton until March. Fowler also reporting the team has not ruled out a return for the quarterback who underwent foot surgery in December and played just two games this season. Carolina, of course, also with a new head coach, Matt Rhule, switching over from Baylor. A lot of folks feel like that favors a future for Cam Newton in Carolina. Marcus, I'll let you start here. What do you think?
Can Cam throw? That's the question. Can he throw? We saw the affected shoulder. We understand the injury history. Obviously, they brought in Matt Rhule and Joe Brady. Joe Brady showed he could change a quarterback's perception by taking Joe Burrow at LSU from 16 touchdowns to 50. That's why you get hired as the offensive coordinator in the pro ranks. But with that being said, like, accuracy is important if we're going to watch Joe Brady manipulate offense like he did at LSU, which has been one of the downsides for Cam's, which could be a result of what his shoulder has been for the past couple years. I still believe Cam has football left in him. I think he can play for a winning football team and continue to push the team forward, especially with the weapons that he has in Carolina. The question is, can he legitimately throw the football downfield with accuracy?
You know, 2015 was his best season. It was his MVP season. He ran the football a lot. He was amazing. 2018, North Turner comes in. It's more of a short, controlled passing game. And everybody says, man, Cam is now accurate. No, he's not. Cam just threw the ball shorter. When he goes to throwing the football 10 or 15 yards down the field, he was still inaccurate. You talk about Joe Brady coming in from college. I don't care what offense you're in, college, high school, Pop Warner, doesn't matter. If I have to throw the ball at X, I have to throw it at X. I can't throw it 10 yards over X's head.
Yeah.
Cam Newton has been an inaccurate quarterback since he has been in this league. His health is starting to deteriorate, so you can't run the ball as much. So what is Cam Newton? If he can't run the ball the way he used to, he's an inaccurate thrower. Now you bring in a college coach in Joe Brady who has an offense that's built on accuracy, timing, and the quarterback running the ball. How does it fit?
Yeah.
To me, it doesn't fit. And I think Joe Brady coming in with Matt Rhule, they're not tied to Cam Newton. So don't be surprised if they move on, well, regardless of the help.
Here's the NFL Live riddle of the day.
There's more than one.
How do you make an Auburn Tiger better? You go get an LSU Tiger. And that is what the Carolina.
I love it.
All the cats
together. Yes.
Panthers, Tigers, and Tigers. You get a Tiger playing quarterback that can actually play Windy Nicks. Mm-hmm. And that is what we're talking about. It's like a zoo, Windy Nicks.
Oh, it's
we
like a zoo, all right.
And cats everywhere. And so when Joe Brady steps into the offense, and when he looks in the offense, once Cam Newton is healthy, he has to say, okay, what is our philosophy going forward? You have DJ Moore, Christian McCaffrey, you have Curtis Samuel, all of these guys who fit so well with a catch-and-run 11 personnel, Kings personnel style offense, and that's what Joe Brady does. Do you look at Joe Brady and say he's 30 years old, Matt Rhule, I have a 7-year contract, and I want to start this thing all over? Or do you think that right now at this point you have pieces to compete? And when you figure that out, that's when you figure out how I will move forward with Cam Newton.
Well, that is a riddle. I mean, in fairness, that is a riddle. That's exactly the question they'll have to answer going forward as we move into the offseason. The draft, of course, coming up in April if they are going to make some kind of quarterback decision. Meanwhile, the Tennessee Titans had quite the breakout season in 2019. They were in the AFC Championship for the first time since 2002. No sixth seed had made it that far since 2010. Derrick Henry used a late surge to lead the league in rushing. He joins Chris Johnson and Earl Campbell as the only players in franchise history to do that. And the key to the Titans' turnaround, Ryan Tannehill made his first start week 7. Tannehill won 7 of his 10 starts and led the league in yards per attempt. Some might say it was a pretty good coaching decision, but you know, who am I? As we say hello, Teddy Bruschi joins me to my friend Mike Vrabel.
Yes.
And I gotta tell you, we were talking, wasn't that long ago, I was covering the Patriots, we were in the locker room, you weren't a coach.
This is like a class reunion.
It is a class
reunion.
This is
the back row. This is the back
row
of our meeting room right here.
But it's like the 20-year class reunion, I'm afraid.
But you're taking the place. You're taking the place of Izzo and Colvin and me and Brave.
I love Larry Izzo, too, so I'll take his place. But Braves, congratulations.
Thank you.
Teddy, you remember a thing or two about this guy?
This was the guy we asked all the questions in the back of the room. Yeah, and he's the one that gave us the answers. So I guess we're sort of in, we've come full circle now because I will continue to ask the questions and get the answers.
Well, and when you're up here, you have all the answers, though. You have the questions and the answers. I don't have as many answers.
Well, I don't know about that. I do know this, though. Mike, you had expressed an interest in coaching for a long time, even during your playing career, and you get this opportunity. And I know it didn't end the way you wanted to end this Sunday. Having said that, have you had a minute to reflect on really what was a tremendous year?
I'm proud of our players. Proud of our players and our staff. Our guys embraced the way that we needed to play. You know, would carry over a lot of those messages that I learned in Pittsburgh, that I learned in New England, about how to win games, that every game is different. You may have to play the Patriots differently than you play, you know, the Ravens or the Chiefs. And so our guys appreciated that, and I think they embraced it.
Did you think Ryan Tannehill would be as effective as he turned out to be?
I think that he was as prepared as I thought he would be. I think guys started to play better. I think as we blocked better and we ran better, and our receivers and AJ and Corey got better, and Jonnu Smith improved, that Ryan played better as well.
What did you see from him that you finally made that decision? And though Marcus is here, Marcus is struggling, we got a guy in Tannehill, we got to make that change.
He came in right away and he learned. He learned the system. He was very conscious, and I think you would appreciate this. He was very conscious of his role. He knew that his role was a backup, and it was to push Marcus, and it wasn't to dominate the room or talk to guys or be a leader, but he was ready to go. And when he got his opportunity, he made the most of it.
I mean, he was your offense. Run, play action, pass, an athletic quarterback that can run. You also, I mean, you saw what Lamar did. Is this where the NFL is going? Is it easier to find this type of guy than find a Patrick Mahomes or to find a Brady, those type of guys?
We can only pick players that are available to us, and that's what's in college football, and that's what's in high school football. And so as these, you know, in high school, the best player, they just – put the ball in his hand. You're the quarterback, yeah. And you make something happen. And then if you can throw it a little bit, then you end up becoming a college quarterback. And so there is an element. You know how hard it is to defend. You make everybody defend the quarterback with all 11 players as opposed to thinking he's just going to turn around and hand it off.
And your offensive coordinator, Arthur Smith, the job that he did. I mean, can you talk about that?
I can't say enough about Arthur and his staff. Our ability to score touchdowns in the red zone was huge. Yep. We struggled kicking field goals. That's not a secret. But we were able to go down there and score touchdowns. But Arthur did a fantastic job. He serves the players. He was well prepared, and I was proud of the way he operated this year.
Mike, you know, they say timing's everything. One, that's right. Two, in this instance, is a pretty good situation for the quarterback that we're talking about. Ryan Tannehill can become a free agent. You have the franchise tag at your disposal. How does that process play out?
You know, John and I, John and Robinson and I, we talk every day. We talk in the morning. We talk before we leave. And our job is to try to make the most competitive 90-man roster right now. It's not about making the right 53. We have to make a competitive 90, and that goes with our good players. And Ryan was one of those good players, and you know we have to do everything that we possibly can to get those good players back on our team.
So, I mean, is that your number one priority with Tannehill? I mean, there is a long list.
Derrick Henry is on that list.
There's a long list.
We have
a lot too that are available.
But we have a lot of guys that contracts are coming up, and I appreciated the way that they handled their business. With some of those contracts coming up, I talked to everybody has a different situation. I think everybody handled it as professionally as they could. And, you know, John and I will continue to work and do what's best for the team.
You got an idea of what you need. I mean, AFC championship, fine. But, of course, that's not the goal.
No.
The goal is to finish it, to win the Super Bowl. I mean, do you have an idea of we need this, we need that, because there are a couple pieces that we needed to be in this game?
Well, winning is the goal. Winning a championship is the goal. The expectations are going to continue to be high. I do know that we have to start hosting some of these games. To go to Houston, to go to New England, to go to Baltimore, to go to Kansas City.
It's true.
We played well, but that's tough. And we got to start hosting some of these games. As far as our needs, you know, we need good football players. We need guys that understand that we put the team first. You know, Jack Conklin's a right tackle that has improved over his course of his 4 years here. You go right on down the list, Logan Ryan. All these guys that played with a contract that was coming up that played their heart and soul out for us to get us to the AFC Championship game.
Yeah.
Mike, I got to ask you one thing, though. He's a guy who made his bread and butter on defense. I mean, when you look at Derrick Henry run, you have any idea how to stop him?
They always ask me that. If I had the answers, then I wouldn't tell I wouldn't tell anybody as long as he's on our team. I said play good defense and look out for the stiff arm.
Yeah, look out for the stiff arm is right. Obviously, you're familiar with the Chiefs, having played them several times. What's your take on the way this game shapes up?
Well, I think that the speed, I think the Kansas City Chiefs have great team speed. They're athletic. You know, you look at Travis Kelce, and basically the way I explained him to our players is when it's zone coverage, he gets open. He sits down in seams, and when it's man, he just runs whatever route he needs to run to get open. Tyreek Hill not only is fast, but has great route craft. When your third and fourth option is you know, Hardman and Sammy Watkins, those are tough things to handle. So I know that Kyle has done a fantastic job. They got great defense. They got the defense that can probably get it done with their front. And so I'm excited. I think the best two teams are in the championship.
And as when we were on defenses together, the quarterback to go up against was Peyton Manning. And we had to coordinate our rush. And we had to get reroutes at the line of scrimmage. And guys had to win. So with Patrick Mahomes, though, if you have that perfect down, he has the ability to scramble out and do something like that. That play that he had against you guys, is that something you'll see for a while? And
it hurts.
Why hit that guy? What happened on that play? It's like, let him have it.
He, you know, we doubled two players, and you know, we spied him, and unfortunately, we didn't make the play, and that's what happens. And you know, give him some credit, but I felt like we had a decent call there. We forced him out of the pocket, and we just weren't able to get him down. And Patrick did a great job.
I just want to go one word really quick because I talked.
I knew you were going to have all the answers.
It
didn't take him long.
I talked about our defenses with you know, going up against Peyton.
Teddy
also
never missed a tackle.
But I didn't. One of the guys that helped me make all them tackles was Richard Seymour.
Yep.
So he's up
Who's also here, by the way.
As a Pro Football Hall of Fame finalist. And, of course, he's got my vote and your vote. But just some of your memories about what kind of player he was as he goes up in that room and his
candidacy
debate.
The mixture of size, speed,
and athleticism. And I also thought he was a very instinctive player. He knew defenses. He knew what was coming. You know, it got me a lot of sacks. You know, we ran that Reed game over there on the right side, yeah. And I got a lot more sacks than what I probably should have gotten because of Richard. Fantastic person, fantastic player, and still a friend and supports me in my role now today.
He was just the one for me, Wendy, that he was ready to fight anybody. I mean, yep. The aggression and everything. He was the one telling the offensive line, I'll meet you at the bus after the game, because that's how intense he was and that's how personal he took
and
everything.
Teddy and I were usually the ones behind him.
Richard and I went to high school together. He's been like that since he was a little fella, so I can attest to that as well. Listen, Mike Vrabel, the only person to never yell at me in a locker room, so no, that's not true, and you know
I
it. That's
never
not,
yelled
that
at you
not true
a little bit. I never yelled at you.
You yelled, but that's okay. I probably deserved it. Any planking going on?
No. No. Out here in this heat, this counts as a workout.
Right. I don't know if you know, but
this
Mike.
This is like 7-minute abs sitting here in this sun.
Well, we appreciate it. It was a lot of fun to watch your success this year, and we're glad you're here.
Thank you.
Yeah. You too. All right.
Good to see you.
Not a bad day at the office. All right, Booger, I'm going to start with you. The one thing, as if there's just one, that stands out with Patrick Mahomes.
I think his ability to make off-script plays. You know, we all understand he's a very athletic quarterback. He's got a rocket arm. He can make any throw on the field. But I would rather him make that throw in the pocket and know exactly where he is. To me, when he extends plays, whether it's red zone, whether it's in the middle of the field, when he extends plays, now that stresses out the second level coverage, whether it's the linebackers and the secondary here. I mean, one of the most amazing plays we've seen. I don't care if you got Deion, Darrell Green, Champ Bailey, Troy Polamalu. You're not covering that on the back end. Keep him in the pocket. Extending plays, it's going to be up to Bosa and four. Can they keep him in the pocket? Because if they can't, the DBs on the back end are not going to be able to keep the integrity of the defense, whether it's zone coverage or man coverage, boxing one, triangling two. It really doesn't matter what defense you play on the back end. Keeping him in the pocket is going to be mandatory for this 49ers defense. Now, yes, he can still beat you from the pocket, but I would rather him be there than be on the exterior extending plays.
He's already been an MVP, the reigning MVP, as a matter of fact, until Saturday night at least. If he wins a Super Bowl, he will be among the very few to win a Super Bowl and an MVP before the age of 25. Should he do that, Booger? Is he already in the discussion for among the greatest to play?
No, not yet. Because I'm going to be honest
Did
with you.
Did you crack your phone?
Yeah, I got a screen
I think
protector.
It's either screen protector or you got insurance. Patrick Mahomes, MVP, if he wins this, he'll be a Super Bowl champion. Can we see more, though? Can we see a little bit more? I'm just not inclined to put a guy in the greatest of all time conversation this early in his career, because the GOAT conversation is reserved for a guy like Tom Brady, who's been to 9 and 1 6.
Thank you.
So how can we put
He's certainly Brees, in the conversation.
Okay, so how can we put Mahomes in that conversation when Brady's in the same one? You haven't accomplished as much yet.
I agree in a lot of ways if you're going to include longevity as a factor.
It's got to be one of the factors.
Why do you got the stink face?
I think
face?
You might have a different argument. He's not agreeing with you, I don't think.
Because if he dominates this Super Bowl, he's going to be in the conversation. Y'all can deny it as much as you want to. Based on what Patrick Mahomes has done since day one as a starter, he is going to be in the conversation. Do y'all realize what we have said about this guy since he started starting for the Kansas City Chiefs? There have been literally people on television say they have never seen this type of football player ever. Think about it. What are we celebrating? 150 years or 100 years?
And where have you been
all year? You mix it in college and
you
say
it every
NFL.
Day, Mark.
Listen, 100 years. I don't give a damn when it's 100 something. Anyway, when you look at what he's been able to do, I liken this to we love basketball.
Yes.
That's why we use terminology. I liken it to when we know what we're watching. We knew with LeBron James, we were watching one of the greatest to ever do it. We knew that way before he won championships and before he became the third leader in scoring. We knew that way before.
Marcus,
that's Patrick Mahomes.
At that point, when LeBron James, you take him year two or the year after his first MVP, what did we say had to happen? We had to see him win multiple championships.
Yep.
I played against Aaron Rodgers in 2010, 2011 in the Super Bowl. And this was before he became Aaron Rodgers, before the MVPs. But the next year, they go like 15-1, and he wins an MVP. And what did we say then? We're going to see him in many more Super Bowls, and he is one day going to be in the greatest of all-time conversations. He's not in that conversation.
Nope.
You know why? Because he ain't been back. And I'm not saying that Patrick Mahomes won't get back. I expect him to get back. Just as after Aaron Rodgers carved us up, I said, you know what? Dude's going to win three. He's going to win four. You know why I said that? Because I needed comfort. I needed something to feel like, you know what? I didn't just get obliterated in front of my wife. I was rubbing Yonka head, girl. It's going to be okay. We're going to be back. We might win another
one. We're
going to get fired. Bro, when you look at what Patrick Mahomes has done, it's been amazing. I think he's one of the best I've ever seen. He maybe is the best, but he's not in the greatest of all time conversation.
I'm old enough to remember when we had the same conversation year two, year three after Michael Vick. How Michael Vick took the league by storm. See, I'm just old enough. I'm just your elder, nope. So I can speak on this conversation.
I'm not letting you do that.
No, but I can speak on this conversation when we talk the same way about Vick. Wow, the athleticism. Can you see him make that throw? Sounds like similar things that we're saying about Patrick Mahomes.
No.
Similar, right now.
Hey, Booger. You know what? Here's the thing. Like, we was at school first, and I wanted to be with you, but you lost me.
No!
You lost me.
First of all,
you
Patrick
were right,
Mahomes,
then you was wrong.
Patrick Mahomes is not playing in his second Super Bowl because of a defensive misalignement.
That's part of it.
But that's not him. He did enough to get him there.
No, he can play. Marcus, right, nobody's saying he's one of the best we've ever seen.
Exactly.
If not the best.
Agreed.
You're talking of the greatest of all time.
Right
this
now.
Conversation
yep.
includes this includes Joe Montana, who has four. Tom Brady, who has six. I'm sorry.
We're done.
Sorry. Okay, sorry.
All right. Well done,
did
fellas.
They say it in your ear and not our ear?
No, I just said it. Okay. I'm done. And you guys are ganging up on my boy Marcus.
Y'all supposed to be with me all in right. public.
Coming this Sunday on a special edition of Postseason NFL Countdown with Rams head coach Sean McVay, who joins us as a special guest analyst. Plus,
trying to treat it as much like a normal game as you can, and just another football game, right?
Right.
One-on-one with Jimmy Garoppolo and Patrick Mahomes.
Going into this season, I envisioned being in the Super Bowl.
And as we celebrate the NFL's 100th season, a look back at the images of the century. Kick off your Super Bowl Sunday with us at 10 a.m. Eastern on ESPN.
And after the game, do not miss NFL Primetime. Chris Berman, Steve Young, Randy Moss live from the field. All the highlights and post-game interviews. You can always watch both on the ESPN app from anywhere you are. Here's what we have. Three LSU alums on the set today, but there are plenty of former Bayou Bengals in the pros. LSU has 32 former players who are currently on an NFL roster. That ranks fourth. Alabama, fellas, leading the way at 51. I know, it's just the numbers.
Them,
no. Just
sure
the numbers.
Did. I thought you took this graphic out the show.
Nope. I put it right back in. Okay. All right, listen. That brings us to this. Sounds good, sounds bad. An LSU edition, though, if you will, okay? To start with this, Jets safety Jamal Adams told the New York Post in Newsday he expects to be extended. He clarified those comments, as one often does, via Twitter yesterday, saying that he and the team are not yet in detailed talks. Adams earned first-team All-Pro honors this season. And I believe he said, Ryan, that he wants to be extended or plans to be now. Yep. So sounds good, sounds bad.
Sounds good. And it's not the sounds good, like sounds good that it's going to happen. It sounds good that he should want that. And he's putting it out there to put it on the New York Jets to say, I'm your best player. I've performed as I should have as being the sixth pick of the draft. Now pay me. But we know how it works with safety. This isn't a position that people are rushing to pay. And if I'm Jamal Adams, I want to be the highest paid safety in the league. So that's over Landon Collins, over Kevin Byard, over Tyrann Mathieu. And I don't think that's something that they will do now, knowing that you can have that first round pick for two more years.
All right, Jarvis Landry pointed to a lack of communication, or poor communication is his words, as the main reason, there were several, for the Browns' disappointing season. Speaking on Undisputed, Landry said, we just couldn't find a way to get on the same page and figure out what our identity was. Marcus, sounds good, sounds bad.
Sounds bad. And it's, first of all, it's an indictment on the head coach for not identifying the fact that you didn't have an identity. But it also is on the players. I think sometimes we forget that we're talking about pro athletes that should take this seriously because it's their livelihood. And at times you have to go into the locker room minus the coaches, minus the front office, minus what the media is saying, and figure out how to get on the same page with the same 11 guys that you're taking the field with. So it sounds bad that they couldn't get over that hump for an entire season. Wendy, it's 17 weeks.
Yeah.
At some point, communicate and have a better football team. hopefully they'll do better going
forward. Well, I think it was somewhat of an indictment on Freddie Kitchens. Another year, another new head coach in Cleveland. Clearly, you know, look, there was a lack of communication. It was quite clear they weren't on the same page.
No, it was obvious they weren't on the same page, but I also think when you have a group of individuals like this that are so skilled, that have been proven in the NFL, you need to get someone that can not only galvanize them, but someone that understands how to delegate, how to make sure you have leadership in place where it's run from the locker room, not necessarily just from the coaching staff. And Freddie Kitchens didn't put that into place. Early, he wasn't organized. He didn't have things set up for these people and for these players to succeed. And we saw that week in and week out throughout the season.
Sometimes it goes higher up the ladder. This ownership group, how many head coaches and GMs have they hired?
A lot.
Just leave it at that.
Okay, Boog.
Okay. Mm.
Drop mic.
Booger out.
A lot.
A lot. Okay.
Boog out.
We'll switch gears here. Joe Burrow, the presumptive number one overall pick, the draft coming up on ESPN in Las Vegas in April. Just saying. Don't tell that to the Bengals, though. Head coach Zach Taylor said there was a long way to go, while director of player personnel Duke Tobin said the phone is always on in regards to possibly trading the top pick. Booger, sounds good, sounds bad.
Well, I think it sounds about right now. I mean, we're less than 100 days from, you know, when we invade Las Vegas and the Strip, and I can't wait, by the way, to get to Vegas to draft the whole nine.
Bad idea.
Las Vegas, there we go. But, if you're the Bengals, and it seems as if you decided to move on from Andy Dalton, and you're trying to figure out what your future is going to be, your decision comes down to, do I take the best player at the most important position, or do I take the best overall player in the draft in Chase Young? Mm-hmm. So is it Joe Burrow or Chase Young? You throw out a scenario in the meeting about if you get Chase Young and somehow get Tua Tagovailoa. To me, that's the best of both worlds. Jay-Z and R. Kelly talked about that, having the best of both worlds. So the way I look at it is, if you're Cincinnati and you're sold on the quarterback, I was always taught in this business, you get the take guy him. When you can get him, you take him. Yeah. So if Joe Burrow is your guy, you get him. But, Wendy, we're in Miami, okay?
Yes,
it's January right now. The draft not
till
April.
February, but yeah.
Yeah, okay.
I understand it.
They don't have to make the decision. And if you show me an executive that's made a decision 100 days out, I'm going to show you a guy or a lady that's not going to be an executive.
Yeah. I would tend to agree with that. I mean, you got to keep the phone on.
This is supposed to be a layup. This is supposed to, like, honestly.
Like for who? The Bengals or for you?
For the Bengals. Like, the scenario, obviously, if you can get Chase and Tua, that's a better situation. Two birds with one stone. But it's a layup. First of all, Joe Burrow is from Ohio. That's number one. Mm-hmm. The second thing is, you just saw him literally be an NFL quarterback throughout a college season. There was nobody more advanced in college football than Joe Burrow operating that offense. Zach Taylor was hired to bring offensive prowess to the Cincinnati Bengals. Lay up, Cincinnati. Dunk it home.
But we've watched this organization miss layup after layup after layup.
There you go.
Therein lies the rub.
We've seen them on the left side of the goal jump off of the left foot and try to lay it up with the right hand.
Right.
You know that's getting blocked.
It's getting blocked.
And so when you look at this this organization, you look at a history of making bad decisions, you never know what's going to happen here. And what happens when it's this early, Boog, and we've watched somebody have a season like Joe Burrow, is you start to talk yourself out of it. You go watch tape from the year before without Joe Brady, and you go say, well, the completion percentage wasn't as high.
Mm-hmm.
The accuracy wasn't the same. Maybe we can find a better deal. And that's what organizations get into trouble. They've thrown the ball by the rim. You need to catch it, windmill it, and dunk it. Have the paper signed. Joe Burrow
it
should be your guy.
It is amazing what we do between now and April.
But Wendy, maybe they're going to be stupid.
What's that?
Maybe they're going to be stupid.
All good things come to an end, Marcus. We'll see. Listen, I caught up with a couple fellas, had a few things to say to you three.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, listen
okay.
up.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, man. Shout out Swaggoo and Ryan Clark, man. Appreciate y'all boys, man, for all y'all done, man. You know, even going back to LSU and, you know, how you inspired the next generation. And, you know, we all wanted to be like y'all boys, man. So appreciate y'all. Keep doing y'all thing.
Yeah, man, I appreciate those guys, man. Go Tigers. You know, we're going to hold it down. We're going to go out there and show what the Tigers do. You know how we play, and you're going to sit on Sunday.
All right, another couple of LSU Tigers heard from right. Marcus is emotional. It's okay. Just a big deal.
You know what? I just saw DeAndre Hopkins walk on. And
y'all go ahead.
I was gonna mess with him about the championship, but I forgot how tall he was.
I'm emotional.
Listen, DeAndre Hopkins will join us. He is here, by the way.
I'm one of my favorite players, but I'm emotional.
Well, DeAndre Hopkins joining us this afternoon on behalf of Hardee's and Carl's Jr., although I like to say the great state of South Carolina since we share that in common. But whatever the reason, DeAndre, happy to have you here. Have you had a minute to, you know, sort of dissolve what happened and the way that the season finished? Digest, maybe a better word?
It's been hard seeing a lot of Chief stuff around here. but, yeah, you know, I'm a football player, so I got short-term memory.
I'm going to get it out of the way because these three clowns over here are going to say it if I don't. You know they all went to LSU, Clemson and LSU recently battling for a national championship. So anything you got to say,
I have a question, though.
Say it quickly.
Why do we have to be clowns?
Listen, because just are.
I understand what type of a hard day this is for DeAndre. There's Chief stuff everywhere. The day you invite him on NFL Live, the true Tigers are here. The Tigers with the real Death Valley. The Tigers with the current championship. That's very difficult for him.
Not
on me.
Not us.
They call it
not us. God. There's a truck back there.
I tell you what. It looked like a lot of wide receivers that look like DeAndre Hopkins, but they were wearing white jerseys. But for real, so my favorite soundbite from you, Coach comes up to you, says you're the best in the game, and you say, I know, right? Many people agree with you. We also know who Deshaun Watson is and how you guys work together.
Yeah.
Y'all got to the divisional round this year. What's it going to take for the Houston Texans to be playing in this weekend in next year's Super Bowl?
First and foremost, not beat ourselves. We up 24-0. We basically gave them the game by mistakes that we made ourselves. Fumbling the kickoff, you know, a couple of turnovers here and there. But beating ourselves, man. You know, Chiefs is a great team, but we feel like we're deserving of being in that big game.
DeAndre, Deshaun Watson joined us last week at the Pro Bowl, and I asked him this because I said it was 24-0, and I turned around and it was 28-24. I said, did it seem as quick to you? He said it was like it didn't even happen. Like, it literally in an instant.
Yeah,
did it feel that way?
Yeah, it did. Right before half, you know, one quarter, they scored four touchdowns, which is unheard of in football. So, you know, I think it caught all of us by surprise.
Hop, it's easy and cliche for people to say, you know, you are mentioned as one of the best, if not the best. But I've always wondered, like, now, what's the motivation? Obviously, it's the Super Bowl, all the cliches. But when you get back to work and you get ready to talk about what the Texans need to do to get back to the Super Bowl, what's your focus on how to help you guys get there?
My focus is building a relationship with Deshaun throughout the offseason. I haven't had a chance to really develop a relationship with a lot of quarterbacks in the past. You know, just them being in now. So developing that relationship with Deshaun in the offseason to, you know, take us over there at home. I feel like him and I can, you know, do a lot of great things on the football field.
You know, you've had an opportunity to attack this Chiefs defense and game plan against them a couple of times. So let's put your analyst hat on. Yep. You're in that meeting room with the 49ers. I said, hey, DeAndre, give me a couple of ways that you think we can attack this defense, whether it's red zone, whether it's short yard, like whatever it is, how would you go about attacking this defense?
I would say take the deep ball early. Take deep shots at them. You know, they're good cornerbacks. They got some good guys over there. But I think if San Fran take deep shots early in the game to kind of get those DBs, you know, a little, like, nervous. You know, they're coming. They're attacking us. Because, obviously, you know, we've seen what San Fran did last game, ran the ball. But I think you got to keep the defense on their toes in the secondary.
So when you look at this defense and you look at Ward on the outside, Breland on the outside, and we've seen you against the best, you draw the number one corner week in and week out. Is there any of those guys that you think that the San Francisco 49ers can go out and attack early to kind of back them off so now they can run the football?
Yeah, I play with Breland at Clemson, but I think Ward is a young guy. You know, he kind of he's good, he's talented, but I think they can take advantage of him in the secondary. You know, nothing against him, but I think they have some great receivers over there. I think just attacking him early, going deep at him, I think that'll be a key for San Fran.
DeAndre, everybody has a favorite play from the season. I mean, I'm a Clemson fan. I'll say it because my favorite play, or one of them this year, was that play, of course, where Deshaun pitches it out to you. You got the ball. You throw a touchdown to your quarterback. Can you take it? We'll show it. Can you walk us through how that came up and what happened?
Yeah, so, you know, we practiced that play for a couple of weeks. But obviously we waited until we played the Patriots to bring it out. But, you know, it was an option for me. Obviously, if I had the open lane, I could have ran it. But if I saw Deshaun, you know, had that lane and nobody was over there on
that side. Wasn't it more fun to throw it?
It was way better to throw it. I was going to throw it regardless.
I
just want to go back because people be saying we dumb and stuff when we analyst D. Mm-hmm. So we had, you remember that week? I said DeAndre Hopkins is going to account for two touchdowns because everybody was talking about Stephon Gilmore. I was like, look, this dude my favorite wide receiver in the NFL. He going to get his. You put two touchdowns on the board, made me look smart. So I just want to say I appreciate it.
That's not always easy to do.
Gilmore is one of the best cornerbacks in the NFL.
No doubt.
So
you
can't take anything from him, man.
So what's your plans for the offseason now that it is here? And shortly we won't have football for a little while.
Travel. See the world.
Where are you going?
I want to go to Australia, you know. Good day. Good day, mate.
I think we have Australia representative. Yep, Australia is still represented.
I love my Aussies.
you love your Aussies? Let me ask you this, though. An interesting development from your head coach, the team making the announcement today that Bill O'Brien will be the head coach, but he'll also be the GM. You know, he's going to wear a lot of hats. That means if you negotiate a new contract, you'll have to talk to him. So true for Deshaun. What do you think he'll be like as a general manager? You know what he's like as a head coach.
I think he'll be the same guy, consistent, wants to win a championship. And I think that's everybody's mindset in that organization. We just want to win a championship. And, you know, for me, I'm going down on the field, handling my business. So everything else around that really doesn't matter to me too much.
So I'm about to get way off the subject. You came up and you shook Boog's hand and you talked about his suit, right? I play DB, you play receiver. Like, the little guys like the dress. You have a very interesting fashion
sense. He sure does.
So tell me how that came about, right?
I love culture.
And when you're getting ready for a game and you putting on these outfits, is there a certain thing you're thinking in your mind, like, you know what, I'm going to rock this with that and I'm going to kill him today? Or do you have a stylist that puts it all together for you?
I have no stylist. That out there.
Right now.
Nah, you know, you guys are all sharp, man. I like you, you know, your suits that you have. But you too.
Okay.
But my mindset is really just to wear something that I haven't seen athletes wear. You know, there's not a lot of different options that we have. It's, you know, similar shops that we shop at.
Right.
So for me, it's just wearing something I haven't seen a guy wear.
Right, because, you know, like, I'm envious. I'm 40 now, so I got to dress like a dad most times.
And I was
like,
for a while.
Right, and I was like, man, that's super dope. But I can't wear that.
Thank you.
When you see something like that, you just send it his way, because he is still super dope.
Exactly.
He can wear it. Listen, there's a lot of fun watching DeAndre, thanks for joining us. A lot of fun watching you guys. We look forward to big things out of Houston for a lot of years to come. So, and go Tigers, the real Tigers, real Tigers right there. All right. This is all. You stay on your side. In case you haven't heard, Patriots quarterback Tom Brady is set to hit free agency for the first time in his very long career. That's right. He's played all 20 seasons in New England, but said last week that he would remain open-minded about the free agency process. Speaking on Brady's impending free agency, former teammate Rob Gronkowski told this to the Boston Globe, "I truly believe he deserves the opportunity to go explore, to see what's out there. I mean, he's been playing for so long, and just the way that he's been playing, just the level he's been playing at, he definitely deserves an opportunity to go out there and test the market. I mean, why wouldn't you?" I think, Booger, that's exactly where Brady falls. Why wouldn't I? And it looks, at the very least, like he's going to kick the tires.
Well, he definitely deserves an opportunity. I mean, anytime you've accomplished everything that you have when you're Tom Brady and you're at the point right now where they can't franchise, you don't have a deal, you're free to go look where you want. But, like, that's a part of me, and I think Joe Montana shared the same sentiment. Be careful where you go. Like, Brady, the Patriots, that uniform, they're synonymous with each other. I don't want to see Tom Brady in another uniform. And everybody's been throwing around all kind of choices. Is it going to be the Chargers in L.A.? What about the Tennessee Titans in Nashville? I just hope when this is all said and done and we get done bouncing around, that Robert Kraft and the relationship with Tom Brady means something and they can work it out. I want to see him start his career and finish his career a New England Patriot.
I could care less. I want Tom Brady to go wherever Tom Brady wants to go, to make as much money as Tom Brady wants to make, with an opportunity to take a young team deep into the playoffs. Don't take this the wrong way. There is an arrogant part to great quarterbacks that wants to prove to everybody that it's them.
Yeah.
And the whole conversation around Tom Brady and the Patriots have been, is it Belichick? They won 11 games with Matt Castle. And Belichick wanted to keep Jimmy Garoppolo over Tom Brady. Tom Brady hears that. He does as well of a job as anybody as kind of not showing the noise affects him or he hears it, but he hears it.
Of course he does.
And I think it has a lot to do with how he's taking this process, but I could be absolutely wrong. But I would think Tom Brady at this juncture in his career, after winning 6 Super Bowls and going to 9, has finally found the opportunity to control whatever he wants to control. The narrative will be whatever Tom Brady wants the narrative to be. And like I said a couple weeks ago, him and Giselle look like the state of California.
Yeah.
Well, there you go. Well, I didn't see that.
They're beautiful people.
I heard that. Yeah.
The piece of it, when I listen to both of my homeboys talk, is that You know, if you're going to succeed, success is fun everywhere, but failing ain't. Mm-hmm. Right? Like if this show didn't go well, or if I didn't do well, I'd be like, shoot, it felt like home, no?
Yeah.
Right? When you do stuff with other people that you're not used to, and when you're in the building that Bill Belichick isn't walking around, and when you aren't playing as well, and you haven't deposited enough into everybody's emotional bank account mm-hmm. to where they say, oh, you know what? But that's Tom. Oh, Tom will get over it. But man, look what Tom gave us. Because when you go to L.A., and they're expecting the Tom Brady that threw for 50 touchdowns with Randy Moss, and you're putting them in the dirt and you're throwing them into the stands, those fans don't remember or don't care about the 6 championships you won with the New England Patriots. So if you go, you try to go to a place that's going to pay you money, that you have an opportunity to win. But sanity and happiness is way more important than ego. So you have to be smart about what you do.
I agree with you, and we've talked a little bit about money, and so often that factors. I'm not saying it's not a factor, but I think Tom Brady also wants a level of control. He wants some personnel decisions.
I know you just did say money is it.
That's not
Tom Brady. Tom Brady don't make the most at his house.
Well, not
that's,
even
that's why
close.
Money's not a factor.
Not even close. That is why money's not a factor.
How y'all going to say this man money ain't important? He might want to go get 50 for a season.
You know what your problem is? Y'all can't listen.
First of all, Wendy, I understand your point, and it's great. Look, this is the part for me. Didn't Michael Jordan leave because he wanted control? Did we ever think we would see
Michael Jordan played baseball and retired?
Did we ever
think? And then when he came back, he owned the team.
Did we ever think Michael Jordan would not be a Bull?
No.
I didn't think Brett Favre would never be a Packer.
There we go. Like, this is not new.
I know.
We all talking about this like we all sentimental. I want to see him
football.
In a New England uniform.
Marcus Spears.
It just wouldn't feel right seeing
like
him there.
Marcus Spears.
The great ones do what
Brett
they want to do
6-0?
At the end of their career.
Did Brett Favre win
6-0? No. But he has earned the right to do whatever
but
the hell he wants.
I think everybody agrees with that.
Nobody saying he don't earn it.
So don't be all emotional about him being a Patriot.
Don't care about that. To your point, he's earned earned the right to do it.
Yes.
I'm just speaking of the fact that, like, we relate to Joe Montana as a 49er. We relate to Michael Jordan as a Bull.
We always go relate to Tom Brady as a Patriot, but no matter where he goes.
This is true.
But you look at those Chief years for Montana and those Wizards years for Jordan, and you're like, I don't want to see him that way.
No, I agree.
And I think that's the whole point.
Man, we don't even remember them.
I do.
I remember it.
I remember 45 for Jordan.
So when the last time you was in the conversation and you was like, you remember Jordan played for the team in D.C.? Never.
He was 40.
You ain't never heard nobody say, man, I can't. It was so exciting to watch Joe Montana play for Kansas City. Ain't nobody ever said that.
This is why you can't have bring little brother.
That's why it don't matter. That's why it don't matter.
All right.
This is what happens.
Does everybody in Louisiana talk as much as you guys?
Yes.
I don't know how anybody gets
it. I don't say it matter.
What?
It don't matter.
Okay.
Wendy Nix trying to wrap the show.
Yeah. He ain't going to play but 2-3 more years. It ain't going to matter.
Somebody's in Wendy's ear saying, stop marking.
No, they're not even. They don't want to. They're not even doing that yet. But we're going to do it anyway. All right. It has been an interesting show. I don't know if I'd say fun, but I guess we will. Coming up on Friday's NFL Live here from South Beach, new Redskins head coach Ron Rivera is here. Plus, we'll preview the candidates for the Pro Football Hall of Fame and deliver our Super Bowl challenge flags, game picks. It is the Friday before the Sunday. That is Super Bowl 54, the Chiefs and the 49ers. Fellas, listen, first time you three have worked together on this show at all? One word?
I'm going to give you several. It was very enjoyable.
Okay, that was the point. It was supposed to be one.
Enjoyed it.
Super old.
Super old? It's two. Now your turn. You got this.
Come on.
Go Tigers.
Okay. Not a single one of you can do it. Listen, it's been a lot of fun. NFL Live back again tomorrow from South Beach.
Somebody in your throat.
We will be here. It is the place.